We read from the Sermon on the Mount this morning, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. And in that sermon, Jesus taught his disciples, including us, many things. And, of course, the passage that we read this morning from chapter 6, he was teaching his disciples how to pray. And I believe that the whole Sermon on the Mount and basically everything that Jesus taught, not only in sermons but in the parables that he shared with people, he had two purposes. He was not only teaching them about the kingdom of God, but he was also teaching them how to live on this earth. And so every sermon, every parable, everything that Jesus spoke while he was here on earth, I believe had those two sets of instructions. How to get into the kingdom of God, how to be a part of that kingdom of God, how we're to conduct ourselves as a member of that kingdom of God, but also how we're to live while we're here on this earth. The time that we spend here is certainly short compared to what we'll spend in heaven, but Jesus wanted us to know how to live while we were here. This world's not our home. I mean, we that are Christians know that. We're just passing through. I mean, our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And one day, the Lord's going to call, if we're still alive, when he comes, he's going to call us and take us to heaven. If we go by way of death, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we know the ultimate home, if we're saved, we know the home that we're going to, but he knows that we're going to live here. And he knows how long we're going to be here. And so he wanted us to know how to live while we were on this earth. And I believe even in the Lord's Prayer, he gives us instructions for how we're to order our life here. And I just want to look at one verse this morning, verse 11 from those that we read, verse 11, where the Bible says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this day our daily bread. Over and over, as Jesus taught, he emphasized the day and doing things daily. Doing things daily. For example, again, give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not yesterday, but today. Today, we're to look to God for the things that we need to live on this earth. I think it's good to make plans. I think everybody ought to have enough life insurance that they can pay for their funeral. I think you ought to save as you can. But we have to live one day at a time. And we have to realize that any plans that we make have to be lived out one day at a time. And we have to please God one day at a time. And we have to do the things that please God one day at a time. Too many people live for God tomorrow. There's people who say, "Well, I'll get saved tomorrow." There may be somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior, and you'll leave this place saying that. "Well, yeah, I heard all about it again, but I'm going to get saved tomorrow." There are Christians that say, "Well, I'll live my life for Christ starting tomorrow. And I'll go to church tomorrow. And I'll read the Bible tomorrow. And I'll pray tomorrow." And all those are good goals. All those are good commitments. But what about today? What about today? I would submit to you that the only day that you have for sure is today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is only a hope. And the Bible says, live for God today. This morning, I have a very unusual sermon. I only have one point. Now, don't get excited. We're probably going to be here till noon. But I only have one point. It's the title of my message. It's the theme of my message. And it's my one point. Give us this day our daily bread. We need to look to God for everything that we need to stay alive today on this earth. We need to look to God for everything we need to interact with people today while we're on this earth. We need to look to God and know that everything that we need for today comes from him. You know, when the Israelites were wandering through the wilderness, they knew this better than we do because God fed them a day at a time. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 16, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And the children of Israel saw it, and they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. That bread came from heaven 6 days a week. They could not save it. They could not go out on Monday and gather 2 days' worth. If you go back and you read in the Bible, you'll see what happens when they tried to get ahead. When they tried to get ahead, if it wasn't Friday, I'm going to talk about Friday in a minute, but every other day of the week, if they tried to get ahead, when they got up the next morning and looked at the bread they'd gathered the day before, it was rotten. It had worms. It stank. God was feeding them a day at a time. Now, on Friday, because of the Sabbath, Sabbath was on Saturday, on Friday, they could go out and gather 2 days' worth because the Sabbath was to be a day of rest. They were not to gather any food. And and when they got up on Saturday to eat the bread, it was just as pure and as fresh as it was the day before. And so God gave them every day what they needed to stay alive. Now, we can read other places. He did other things for them. He provided for their physical needs. He gave them clothes. He gave them shoes. And I don't exactly understand how it worked, but I've come to the impression that their shoes grew as their feet grew. They don't wear out. I know some of you that have young children. Oh, you wish that would happen now. We keep buying shoes over and over because our kids' feet keep getting bigger. But God provided for them. He led them with a cloud by day. And you've heard me say before, I don't think it was just a little cloud, like that cloud that Elijah's servant saw when he sent his servant after he dealt with Ahab, the size of a fist. I think it was a great big cloud. I think it not only led them, but it gave them shade and kept them cool in the day as they traveled. He led them by fire by night. And again, I don't think it was just like a little headlight so they could follow. I think it was a great big fire. And if they were traveling or resting by night, it kept them warm. God gave them everything they need on a day-by-day basis. And I submit to you, give us this day our daily bread, teaches us that he does the same thing today. He gives us day by day what we need to stay alive. Say, well, preacher, not me. I work, I sweat, and everything I have is because I've earned it myself. And I've gone out and worked for it, and I have been paid, and I have been a good steward of the money that I've been paid, and everything I have, I worked for. Okay, well then, I would just ask you, who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the mind to work? Who gave you the strength to work? We had better see God as the supplier of everything that we have and everything that we need, because if we don't, he'll remind us. He'll remind us. You know, I've gone visiting with Brother Leonard Gordon a lot, and I've heard his testimony many, many times. And I can remember him saying about that time when he had first gotten married, and he was working, and he and his wife planned to buy a house. And so they put together a budget. But Brother Leonard was still a new Christian. He was still learning about the things of God. And so in that new budget, because they were saving up for a house, he didn't have anything designated as tithes or offerings. So his story goes, one day he was at work welding. You know, you have that mask on, Brother Leonard, and all that other stuff, and got a tap on the shoulder. It was his foreman. Said, you're getting laid off at the end of the shift. And Brother Leonard said, I don't understand. They're hiring. Why would I get laid off? And the foreman said, I don't know. I don't understand it. We are hiring, but you're getting laid off. Well, Brother Leonard went back to work, and then the light bulb came on. And his testimony is, the next break that he had, he got by himself, and he told God, he said, God, I understand now. When I get a job back, the first thing that will be on my budget will be my tithes and my offerings, the things that you have, things that you demand. He went back to work, welding again, got another tap on the shoulder. Same day, right, Brother Leonard? Same day. It was the foreman again. He turned around, and he said, you're not laid off. You're not laid off. Now, I'm telling the truth, right, brother? Say amen if I'm... That's the truth. You see, we can save... And by the way, you got the house in half the time that you were planning on, right? House in half the time. We can save up And we can think that we gather all this stuff that we need to live, but I want to tell you something. God can take it away in a second if he wants to. I mean, you can be at work like I was one day and get a call from the state fire marshal and say, hey, you better come home. You've had a little fire. And I said, well, how bad was it? And the guy said, well, you just better come home and see. And when I got home, there was nothing left but a basement full of ashes and the heart from the piano. That was it. Three-story house. My point is, God, I mean, we can think that we, you know, it's by the work and sweat of our brow that we have everything we need, but we need to realize, just like the Israelites, that what we need comes from God. He lets us save, but he can also take it away in a second. Or he can give it back in a second. Every good and every perfect gift comes from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, no changing. And so, give us this day our daily bread. I want you to realize, I want you to think about it, I want you to know that just like the Israelites, we need to depend on God day by day by day by day by day for him to give us what we need. And it all comes from him. It comes from him. There's also a spiritual application. Give us this day our daily bread. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. Now, he wasn't talking about physical hunger. He was talking about spiritual hunger. And the bread that he was not bread that satisfy the stomach, but bread that satisfies the soul. Jesus said in the upper room as he passed the bread to his disciples, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And just like God gives us daily what we need to stay alive physically, he will give us daily what we need for our spiritual lives. He will give us daily what we need to satisfy that hunger that we have for him. And he gives it every single day. I want you to notice how the manna represents Christ. I want you to notice how it does. Manna came down from heaven, just like Jesus did. And Kelly and you guys sung about it. Why? Why would the Prince of Heaven leave heaven? Why would he give up all the majesty and the glory he enjoyed in that place? Why would he come and live among men and take the form of a servant and become obedient unto death and let his creation take him and nail him to a cross and with all the suffering and shame that was associated with that? Why? 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 Because he loves us. He loves us. There's not one of us that deserved it. Not one. The Bible says all our righteousnesses, all the goodnesses, the goodness that we have that we could offer up to God in his sight are as filthy rags. And there's not one person. And it, by the way, if you ever get to the point where you think that you deserve what Jesus did for you on Calvary, you need to get down here at this altar and you need to bow your head to a holy, righteous God and admit that you're nothing. Nothing. And there was nothing about you that deserved what Jesus did. He did it as an act of grace. He did it as an act of love. And he said, my body, which was given for you. So manna came down from heaven. It was a little white like hoarfrost. It was white. Jesus was pure. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He could be that Passover lamb. He could go to the cross without sin and die for mine. When manna came down from heaven, it lay on the ground. You didn't have to be a tall guy to get it. You didn't have to be athletic to get it. Every single person, it was within their reach. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl. If you were a cripple, you didn't have to have, you didn't have need anything special. If you could make it out to where it was, you could get it. If you were a blind person, yeah, maybe you had to have somebody lead you, but you could pick it up yourself. It was available to everybody. I'm glad, so glad that God made salvation available to every single person. I'm glad there's not some set of minimal requirements that you got to meet in order to qualify for the salvation through Jesus Christ. I'm glad as Brian is preaching back there in the fellowship hall to those little boys and girls that they can take it just like we can. They don't have to be grown up. They don't have to be an adult. They can take it just like we can. I'm so glad that God made salvation available to every single person. And don't you tell me for a second that he's predestinated some to go to hell. He has not. He wants everybody to be saved. And that's why he uses whosoever will may come. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants everybody to be saved. That's why he made it so available. And the manna was free. There was no charge. They didn't have to ante up to Moses or to Aaron or anybody else. They could go out day after day for almost 40 years. And God gave them every day what they needed. Salvation is free for us. It costs God and it costs Jesus. But it's free for the taking for us. If you're not saved this morning, I invite you to reach out and grab that bread. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior this morning, then you take that salvation that he so freely offers to every single person. You listen to me, the devil, like Kelly was talking about, that's what we talked about in Sunday school, by the way, is Satan putting those thoughts in our head. Satan will tell you this morning, I don't listen to that preacher. You got plenty of time. You can do it tomorrow. You can get saved tomorrow. You don't know about tomorrow. Every once in a while, I go on the computer and I just look at the obituaries. Some people say they look at them to see if they're on there. I don't do it for that reason. I look at them because it reminds me that death can come to any person at any time. I saw lots of people that were in their 60s and 70s. One man was even in his 90s that died this past week. But I also saw a little toddler that was 4 years old. I saw a little baby that was just a few hours old. You see, death can come at any time. You say, preacher, I don't think you should try to scare people. I'd rather scare you into heaven than have you go to hell. I want you to know that you could die at any time. You say, yeah, I'll get saved tomorrow. You may not see tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. If you're going to get saved, you need to do it today. That's why the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you're here today, I would not wait till tomorrow. I would not wait another hour. In just a few minutes, I'm going to give an invitation. I would come and I would ask Jesus to be my Savior. But you know, when we get saved, God doesn't quit sending the manna. Our salvation is complete. In the moment we get saved, we're just as saved as we're going to be. The moment we get saved, all our sins are washed away and our name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it lasts forever, forever and forever and forever and forever. But you know what? I need more bread from heaven every day. I need more of Jesus every day. We sing that little chorus sometimes, more about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. You know, some people try to get all the manna they need after they get saved once or twice a year. They come to church on Christmas, and they come to church on Easter. And they think they can get all of Jesus that they need. And by the way, I know you can get Jesus other places at church, but you can get him at church. They try to come twice a year. That's all of Jesus I need. They read their Bible maybe once a week. And they think, well, I can get all of Jesus that I need reading my Bible once a week. Or maybe they come to church once a week and say, I can get all of Jesus once a week. I don't know about you, but I sure wouldn't like to eat only once a week. You can tell by looking at me that I don't. I like to eat every day. Some of you guys can say amen to that. In fact, I like to eat more than once a day. I've been going to the doctor and you're finding all sorts of stuff and all sorts of tests. And the doctor told me I should eat small meals more often. So I'm eating six times a day. I haven't got the small down yet, but I'm eating six times a day. I can't imagine what it'd be like to only get around Jesus once a week. I can't. Read my Bible once a week? No, I couldn't. Come to church only one time a week? No, I couldn't. Pray only one time a week? No, I can't. I want more. I got to have more. I don't know about you, but I like fresh bread. When I was growing up, we'd go over to my grandma's every week, one and then the other, every other week. And my mom's mom, my grandma Gibson, every time we go to her house, she'd have homemade rolls. She lived over on the east side of Detroit, and we could get out of the car in front of her house, and you could smell them. You could smell them. I remember my mom used to make homemade bread, and she'd make it early in the morning, and we'd wake up to the smell of that homemade bread and go down and have a piece of toast and take a sandwich on that homemade bread. You know, sometimes when you don't eat much bread, it sort of gets moldy. And I always argue with my daughter. I said, just pinch that piece of mold off and eat the rest of it. And I always say, you know, that's what they make penicillin out of. You eat it, you'll feel better. But I can't convince her. But I like to have fresh bread. And I like to have Jesus every day. And he'll come every day. And as he comes and you enjoy his company and as you talk to him and as you let him talk to you and as you share with him what's going on in your life and you feel his presence and you feel his comfort and you get his wisdom, it gets sweeter, sweeter. We sing that little chorus, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Jesus saves and keeps me. Oh, and he does. He saves and keeps me. And he's the one I'm living for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Give us this day our daily bread. I need it from a physical standpoint. I need it much, much more from a spiritual standpoint. Please, as a Christian, don't try to live your life without getting some of Jesus every single day. Every single day. Every single day. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm done. If you're here today and you've never taken that bread for the first time, I invite you to come this morning. Jesus will save you right now. He'll save you right now. In the next couple minutes, you can get saved. You can know you have a home in heaven if you'll simply come and ask him. Would you? If you're here this morning, you don't know him. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song. And if you'll walk down the aisle, I'll have somebody take the Bible and I'll have them show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian, and perhaps you've tried to live your life apart from God, and you've tried to just get as little of Jesus as you can, I want to tell you, that's not the way to live the Christian life. Not the way. You need him every day. Maybe you need to come this morning and kneel at the altar and say, Jesus, I'm sorry I've ignored you. I need you in my life every day. Every day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that it teaches. And I pray that you'll speak to hearts this morning. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that you'd help them see their sin. You'd help them see the penalty of that sin. It's being separated from you forever and ever and ever. And Father, help them to see that the only hope that they have is to come to Jesus Christ and to trust him and to let his death on Calvary pay for their sins. Father, help them come this morning. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us not to try to get by with as little as Jesus as we can, but help us to want to have more and more and more of him. And so I pray you'll speak to our hearts and you'll help us do what we need to do. Bless this time of invitation. Help us to be obedient as the Holy Spirit speaks. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.